welcome to chapel, everybody. You know, it's an interesting culture and community we have sometimes in our sport. And we have these weird sayings, and a couple of them I was thinking of this week are, they can't eat you and they can't take your birthday. And we say that sometimes. I haven't quite figured out who they is yet, but we say that as a means of protecting the most valuable things in our life. And so, sure, the sport is competitive, it's tough, it takes hard work, and sometimes there's days that are not great, right? And so we do that to look to and to value the most important things in our life and to know that those things are protected. And so we're continuing our study of the armor of God, coming from the end of Ephesians chapter 6. And today we're going to talk about the helmet of salvation. Now, this is important because it's God's salvation that protects us from the enemy. It's God's salvation that he has control of. And no matter what kind of day we face, nothing or no one can take away God's gift that he's given us in salvation. Now, for me, I didn't grow up in a religious home. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. The first time I really was experienced or heard anything about Christianity, a friend of mine lost his life in a car accident in 1996. And at his funeral service, his mom gave an invitation to be saved. And I really didn't know what that meant. But all those years ago, it was a seed that God planted in my heart that he still uses to this day. And so God planted that seed, and I began to ask the question, well, what does it mean to be saved? Well, I want to show you today what it means to be saved. But for those of us who are saved, okay, those of us who are Christians, which are probably all of us in here, or most of us anyways, how we can walk in the confidence every day of God's salvation and how we can walk in the boldness of the gift that he's given us. Now, I'm not going to read all the verses out of Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 for the sake of time, but we'll start in verse 13 and we'll reread a few of these that we've already discussed so far. And it says in verse 13, in light of the schemes and the strategies of the devil, therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, then stand firm. Then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And here it is, take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which we'll get to next week. But today we're talking about the helmet of salvation. Now, we've said many times, and we know this, that this is figurative language. This is not a literal thing that we do, but Paul is painting a picture for his audience or even for us as we read it today, this image of a Roman soldier. They're wearing each pieces of this, and Paul is showing us that we need those to have spiritual victory in our lives, that we need to walk in these things. And so for the Roman soldier, the helmet was just what it is, a helmet that protected this most important part of their body, which was their head. And we understand this. We race today with helmets on. We do pit stops with helmets on. Why? Because it's safe. And we do that for safety. Well, the helmet of salvation protects us from the schemes and the strategy of the devil. So what does it mean as we talk about salvation? We first have to understand what the word salvation means. It means simply to be saved. Now, for me, as a teenager in 1996, when I asked the question, okay, what does it mean to be saved? But saved from what? Like, that was one of the first questions I had. And it's important to know what God has saved us from. And so I'll lead us through that just as a reminder. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8 through 9, it says, but God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? And that's what we're saved from. We're saved from God's wrath. And so that word demonstrated means to prove. God proved his love for us in this way. While we didn't love him, while we were not pursuing him, he pursued us and gave his life for us so that we could be made in right standing and be saved from God's judgment and God's wrath. Now, God is just and God is fair. And here's the idea. Either we can pay for our own sin, or we can receive his gift and allow Jesus to pay for sin. And one of the things that I've learned about God from studying his word is that God will not ever force anyone into his presence. God will never force you into relationship with him or accepting that gift. He's too good. You see, God made you and I in his image, and you are the greatest thing that God has ever created. And so he's never going to force you into that relationship with him, which makes it so beautiful when all of you come together to be here because you want to pursue God with all your heart. That's what it's all about. And so that's what we're saved from. Now, this brings me such great joy, and this brings me to what we wanted to talk about today, is that we may face some difficult days. We certainly face difficult days in racing. We certainly face difficult days in life. But the enemy can't unsave you. He cannot take away what God is in control of and what God gave you as a gift. So we can lose many things. We can lose our finances. We can lose our health. We can lose whatever. We can lose on this side of heaven people that we love and care about. But we cannot lose what God gave us in his salvation. God is in control of that. We don't earn it by being a good person. We don't keep it by being a good person. Should we strive to be? Absolutely, but not for salvation, from salvation, because it's a gift from God. I want to show it to you in John chapter 10. This is what Jesus said. He said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So who gives eternal life? God. Who holds it together? God. And so salvation is not dependent on anything other than receiving God's gift by faith. And so how do we do that? We believe. We repent. We turn away from sin and receive what God wants to give us in salvation. And the fact that the enemy can't take that away from us should make us all confident in that. I want to show you another passage here in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for what? For salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek," or that means Gentile, anyone who's not Jewish. And so that's how we're saved. But then it goes on to say in the same book, Romans chapter 10, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Now, if you've never done that and you're not saved, you got to come up front here, share your name, date of birth, address, all that. Okay, right now. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to do that. But seriously, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, this is how you do it. You don't need me to give you a special text to say or to pray. Just follow this. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. But for those of us who have trusted in Christ, it is important for us to walk in the confidence of his salvation. Because when we put our hope, when we put our trust in things that we can lose, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. That's not where our trust and our hope and our confidence is supposed to be. Are they good? Are they fun? Are they blessings? Yes, absolutely, but not where we put our hope and our trust. And so we put on this helmet of salvation every day. Remember, we talked about that. If the text says to put it on, that assumes we don't always have it on. And so I just want to encourage you today to put on the helmet of salvation. Now, how do we do that? We work out our salvation by renewing our mind. We work out our salvation by renewing our mind. This is what it says in Philippians chapter 2. It says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Now, let me explain to you what this means. This does not mean to go and work hard so that you get salvation. It's not at all what that means. It means to exercise the salvation that you already have. It means to exercise that muscle, that faith muscle, and to walk in that, to walk in the confidence of what God has done for us. Back in Daytona, at the driver's meeting, I went up and did the invocation at the end of the driver's meeting. And when I got done, I noticed kind of over here to the side, right after I got done, I saw the Rock made eye contact with me. And I was like, oh, man. And he was walking right towards me. And I was like, oh, man, you know, I didn't know what to expect. And he came up and he said, "Man, I appreciate that prayer." And I was like, wow, that's super cool, you know. He's really a lot bigger than what I expected, right? I mean, he's a large man. Now, I don't know this for certain, but I heard one of the things that had to be juggled while he was in town was his workout schedule, right? To make sure he had the ability, the place, the things he needed to work out, because he doesn't miss many workouts, right? And you can testify to that just seeing him in person. And so, you know, we oftentimes put the importance on physical workouts. I want you to put the importance on thinking about your spiritual workouts, exercising your faith, right? Walking in that confidence. Now, how do we do that? We do that by renewing our mind. We do that by renewing our mind. So the two go together. We work out our salvation by renewing our mind. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, read this with me. "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, when you read "world" there, it really means age, right? Do not conform to the patterns of this age, the world, the culture that we're living in. And what is the most predominant thing, I think, that our world goes to? And this is what I think it is. Trusting and putting our hope in anything other than God. The world is desperately looking for things to trust in, and to find joy and contentment and purpose and all those things. And we don't conform to the patterns of this world, but we transform by renewing our mind. And so what that looks like for I think for me today, and maybe for you, is like, yep, I might have a bad day and I might go through some things and the enemy might aggravate me to no end, like a little yapping dog or who knows what, just driving me crazy. That's fine, but he can't take away what God has control of. He can't take away what is in God's hand and what God keeps in his grasp. And that is salvation. And so no matter what we face, we've always got hope in salvation. I was at a late model race in 2000 at Caraway Speedway, and we were packing up after the race. And the rails that went around the top of the hauler where we stood up and watched the race, they didn't have little brackets to stop the rails from flipping outwards. And as they were unpacking, they had one flip outwards, and it hit me right on the top of the head. And I think I still have headaches and stuff from that still to this day. Now, you can't walk around with a helmet on all the time, right? I mean, you don't do that. But listen to me. You can always walk around with the helmet of salvation. Always. You can always have it on. We have to choose to put it on, and we walk in the confidence in the promises that God has made us, because really that is where our hope is at. And so I want to pray for you guys that way. But also, if you were here late, Easter information is on the back of your bulletin with the schedule for Easter. Our team, Jenny's in the back if you have something you want to put in the offering on the way out. But I want to pray for you guys today that you'll walk in the hope of God's salvation and his gift to you. So Lord, we trust you. We love you. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you that you are in control of that, that we're not in control of it or no one else. And no matter what kind of day we face, good or bad, salvation is the same and it's unchanging. And so we thank you for that hope, Lord. We love you. I pray for every single one of these people in here, God, that you would help us to walk with the helmet of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. We love you. Have an awesome rest of your day.